face at that G7 summit. Priceless. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC. 1-800-222-5222 if you would like to be on the program. And as always, my email, sam@samnation.com. I do check that during the show and will respond to you if there's something in there I like. Now, where to begin? By the way, happy Memorial Day. Hope everybody enjoyed a peaceful three-day weekend and of course, the holiday yesterday. I know I did, and I think we had a good best of show. I think we put together a good one. So hopefully you enjoyed that. Good to be back here live Tuesday that feels like a Monday. Trump is back. Came back from his world tour. Did you hear Nancy Pelosi complaining how he should have visited countries in alphabetical order? She actually said this. You know, he should have started toward the beginning of the alphabet, like Canada. Maybe she meant Azerbaijan. I don't know. Totally nuts. But here's my take on this. The trip was an excellent, total success. Huge success. And I think part of the reason for it, of course, is that expectations were quite low. But as I mentioned last week, Trump he did it. He got out there. He engaged with world leaders. He saw the people he needed to see. His reception that he received in the Middle East, in Saudi Arabia, and in Israel was bar none one of the best and most incredible receptions a U.S. president has ever received. And it's because Trump is the kind of leader that the Middle East finally can rely on to counter the crazy Iranian threat. Now, the reception got a little chillier at the G7 summit in Taormina, Italy. That's down in Sicily. It's a beautiful town and a fairly small place. People are complaining that Trump didn't walk the town, that he rode in a golf cart. And of course, they're also this is how absurd news is. This came out from the Daily Mail, which is interesting. Usually, Daily Mail has good journalism. This, however, but here I'll read you the headline: Trump acted like a loud and tacky drunk tourist who steps on others without realizing during his meetings with foreign allies, claims State Department official. Talking about his arrogance in Trump's threatening to oppose the Paris Agreement. Now, the Paris Accords, that was the big hangup in the G7. You've heard a lot about it. Yeah, this is something the Obama administration took the lead on. Capping our greenhouse gases. Bunch of countries in the world have signed on to it. It's a total garbage deal. It's garbage even if you believe in global warming, right? If you think that global warming is a real issue, and God help you if you do, but if you do, if you think it's man-made and we're creating it and the planet's getting hot because of the Prius that you're driving, fine. Good for you. But the accord is totally toothless. So yeah, countries like China signed it and India signed it, but they're not never going to comply. That's the dirty secret. So Trump because of course Merkel and all the other European leaders, they care more about climate change than they do about terrorism. I mean, they got a major attack that happens pretty much every 6 weeks on the money. And they're concerned about climate change? That's their big hangup? They've got a sitting U.S. president who is willing to be a serious partner in the fight against terror, and they're making long faces because he doesn't want to sign on for climate change? Oh, this is so ridiculous. Beneath the pale. Anyway, but that's why you're seeing these news stories of Merkel out there with her long, sad face talking about how Europe needs to take the lead and can't rely on others wink, wink, others, pointing over to the U.S., others, for anything. CNN described this, read this, sobering comments from Angela Merkel. And also the New York Times described Merkel as Europe's most influential leader. Europe's screwed, if that's the case. Why? Oh, easy. I mean, look, first of all, she's got the charisma of a pet rock. You've got that, number one. Number two, she's the one who's led this entire move to welcome migrants and welcome, I mean, all this enormous influx of migration into Europe that will spell doom and disaster. Listen to me, hear me now. This is going to be a problem that will haunt Europe for generations. They don't know who they brought over. They don't know what they brought over. And of course, the Germans somehow governed by some enormous sense of guilt that they need to get over. Okay, it's history. Sad to say, time to move on. Well, I can say that. I mean, trust me, my grandparents didn't fare too well during the German occupation. But it's time to move on. And this German guilt, and by which they're leading the rest of Europe, and by the way, bankrupting it through German monetary policy, that's a whole separate issue. So on one hand, Merkel has saddled Europe with a bunch of migrants that are wreaking havoc across the continent, but you can't talk about it because they don't have free speech, or you know, you don't want to get accused of hate speech, so it's all being swept under the rug. And on the flip side, the monetary policy in the EU that's being led by Germany, austerity measures, you've heard of those, have been bankrupting weaker countries in the EU. It's just a catastrophe. She is literally the author of catastrophe on the European continent. But, you know, the great thinkers here in the U.S. at the New York Times think that she is the greatest leader that Europe has. And that may very well be true. So Trump did a bang-up job. It was fantastic. Oh, and before I forget, Melania Trump. You know, she kind of struck out on her own this trip, don't you think? She kind of developed a brand of her own. She spoke out, admitted, I don't know, came out as a Catholic. You heard about this after the meeting with the Pope. Really charmed the Pope. I don't know if you saw some video of their meeting, but seemed to have really charmed the guy. But I think the best part about Melania on this trip is her revenge on all the nasty lib designers that refused to dress her. Do you remember this story? It happened during the campaign. Tom Ford, right, that douchebag, he refused to dress Melania Trump. He's like, I don't want anything to do with that. She's not my thing, I think is what he said. Marc Jacobs, too. Well, anyway, you know Dolce & Gabbana. They're the ones who dress Melania Trump. They're the only two guys. They were like, basically, screw you. I don't care. We're dressing Melania. She's beautiful. F you. I mean, that's basically been their take. I think those actually are literally the comments that they made. So they took a stand, and I love this. I love when people take a principled stand on either side. It has to be principled and stick to it and then reap the rewards of that principled stand, which is what exactly what happened on this world tour. All eyes, all cameras are taking pictures of Melania Trump. Well, they're not doing any close-ups on Angela Merkel, I'll tell you that right now. Separated at birth from Rosa Klebs. No, not Angela Merkel. So no, it's Melania Trump is center stage. All cameras on her, and she's wearing Dolce & Gabbana every day, all day. Beautiful stuff. Even the New York Times had to admit that it's beautiful. And Dolce & Gabbana are, you know how much media that gives them? I mean, in raw dollars, I'll explain this to you, how, you know, product placement, all this. People who are visible like this can really pump up a brand. And the point is that Trump, Melania Trump, got out there, built her own brand, was very likable, did that visit in Italy and Rome to the children's hospital, really kind of came into her own, in her own identity as first lady. Everywhere she walked in, radiant, beautiful, beautiful, great outfits. And long story short, Dolce & Gabbana stuck by her from early on, and now they're laughing all the way to the bank. Another example of that, you know, have you been following this Hannity thing? This ties into all of this because I didn't really want to get into it too much. You're following the Seth, Seth Rich story. So Seth Rich is the guy, he's working for the DNC. We've talked about him before. He gets murdered, shot two times in the back in Washington, D.C. This happened back in July of 2016. And it's just a really sad story. It probably is nothing more than a robbery gone bad. And they happen all the time in D.C., right? D.C. is not known for being particularly safe. So there's this theory, though, that Seth Rich may have been the source, WikiLeaks source, for all those hacked emails that WikiLeaks published during the campaign detailing the DNC's brazen fraud on the Democratic voters, namely to cheat Bernie Sanders out of the nomination and insert the chosen woman, Hillary Rodham Clinton, who would be a shoo-in and lead the DNC, the Democratic Party, to a great victory, reach the White House. Well, that none of that happened, but we did find the emails. And you'll remember Assange didn't say, now this is the guy who heads up WikiLeaks, he never said that it was Seth Rich initially, but he did claim that there was a source, that he got these emails from a source, not the Russians. I don't know. But, you know, Hannity was the one who went kind of balls out on the story and went for it full throttle. And then you saw what happened. A bunch of his different advertisers started bailing because they got all this pressure from Media Matters and a bunch of other liberal people. USAA, I couldn't believe this. USAA, who is the insurer for military members and their families, bailed on Sean Hannity. And I'm looking at it when it happened, and I go, how is it possible? How is it even conceivable? Who gave them this advice? Hey, USAA, your customers are military people who probably, I don't know, 65-75% love Fox News, love Sean Hannity, are center right. What are you thinking? They had to do an about face today. They apologized and reinstated their advertising. But I think that this story, I think that this Seth Rich story is actually is more interesting, not for the conspiracy theory that the DNC murdered Seth Rich because he stole the emails or whatnot, whatever the theory is. I don't know, I'm not a conspiracy guy. But I think the part of the story that is interesting, and as this begins to get developed, remember I always tell you, you might have a special prosecutor today that's investigating the thread of Russia hacking the election, but it might lead to, I don't know, let's say issues of unmasking and using wiretaps and other nefarious conduct, illegal conduct that was done by the previous administration. But this Seth Rich story carries within it something that people aren't really talking about, which is the connection that may or may not have existed with a guy named .com. You know this guy? Have you heard about him? I talked to you about him briefly during the election because he popped up a couple of times. But it's a crazy story how politics work. And if you think for a minute, that Obama was white hat, because I'm seeing all over the news, right? Trump is a criminal act. He's a criminal. He's a impeachment. He's terrible. He's awful. Abuse of power. And you start looking, you start peeling back the layers on the Obama years. You're going to start to see some pretty nasty stuff. Yeah, this .com guy, he had that website Mega Upload. I never went on it. I guess it was used by a lot of people to download movies illegally, right? It's protected by copyright. But the timing was interesting. Because, you know, Kim.com ended up getting arrested. He lives in New Zealand. He gets arrested. They raid his compound. Huge military-style raid. But wait till I tell you about the timing of it. It's very interesting stuff. And who was maybe behind getting the Obama administration to act on it? Because this isn't a conspiracy theory at all. I mean, the facts just line up on this, and it's all pretty much documented and out in the open, which is crazy to consider. So much going on. Okay, I want to tell you about this, though. It's the backstory to a big story that really isn't, right? The big story itself, I think, is, I don't know, the Seth Rich deal isn't really there. But I think some of this other side notes to it are far more interesting. All right, more on that when we get back right after this.
Talk radio, 790
KABC. Sam Rojofsky. Okay, we are back. You know, I'm going to frame this Kim.com thing. I'm going to frame it this way. I personally, and you know, I'm a libertarian. I believe in freedom. I like freedom. I like for you to get to do your thing, me to do my thing. You let me live, I let you live, and we all win. I think that's a sound policy. And it's more or less how our framers intended us to live. They never intended the federal government to have all-consuming power. They intended for the federal government to be more in the background. And for us as individuals, through our liberties, to contribute to building this great nation. One of the things that principally, fundamentally bothers me is when politicians are bought off by lobbyists for big industries, and the power of the government is put to use to protect private interests. And no, it really does. That is a fundamental principle of mine that just is immovable. And it's not, I don't even know. Is it political? Is it really a political principle? It's just, I think, to me, a very common sense philosophy. And by the way, if you float that as an issue, you get people on the left and the right agreeing that it's, we don't want that. That's not a good thing. It happens in a lot of maybe not so subtle ways. Some industries get the protection of government simply because really they can pay for it. And that's what happened in 2012. So this guy, .com, Kim.com, big fat German guy. He's tall, he's fat, he's a hacker. What do I always say? If you're in government, don't piss off a hacker. Could be a problem. So what happens is Chris Dodd, who was, you know, Dodd-Frank, big senator, 30-year senator, best friends with Joe Biden, he ends up as the CEO, after retiring from Congress, ends up as the CEO of the Motion Picture Association of America, MPAA, the mafia that controls Hollywood. Seems like a natural habitat for a retired Democrat, don't you think? Well, anyway, I bet you that gig comes with a lot of perks and cash, but that's got to be the perfect golden parachute to cap a 30-year career in the Senate. So I'm already suspicious of it. But basically, Chris Dodd gets up after Hollywood basically went all in for Obama in 2008, right? Hollywood funded Obama's campaign in 2008. But then there was this whole anti-piracy movement online, you know, and the agitation against this anti-piracy bill. And it was called SOPA. It doesn't matter. But the point is that Hollywood decided that they were really going to pressure Obama to do something about piracy. Now, piracy, if you think about it, look, if you steal from me, you steal from my business. I had this happen. I had a employee who, an attorney, worked for me, produced a lot of work. And I was given a lot of our confidential work product, which when she quit, she stole, put it on a disk, actually a thumb drive, and then deleted everything off of her computer so that we couldn't get it. Now, I can't call the police about that. By the way, if you own a business or you've been in this type of predicament, you know, you call somebody and what did the police tell you? Now, this happened in Newport Beach. Very good police department, great police. I call them up. What do they tell me? It's a civil matter. Sorry, Mr. Murjovsky, nothing we can do for you. You need to hire a lawyer, which I did and took appropriate action. That's how it goes down for us garden variety business people. But if you're Hollywood, you can use the government to pressure you. I want to take my time with this because it really outlines one of my true pet peeves about why I absolutely despise career politicians. I despise politics as usual. I loathe the way the political machine works. And why I'm just tickled. I'm tickled to death over a disruptor like Trump. I might not like the guy all that much all the time, but I do appreciate the disruption that he causes this totally moribund, awful, bloated bureaucracy that oftentimes really doesn't do anything for the little guy. I will explain all this when I come back after John Wolf up next with the news.
Talk radio, talk radio.
790 KABC.
Sam Murjovsky here, Sam Nation, Talk Radio 790 KBC, 1-800-222-5222, and sam@samnation.com is my email address. Oh, this is fun. So, talking about the backstory to this whole Seth Ridge brouhaha, because the guy fanning the flames, the guy sitting there getting this whole thing going, it's not Sean Hannity. It's a big fat German guy on the opposite end of the world sitting in his giant mansion near Auckland in New Zealand. I will explain why he's doing it. Listen carefully. I started telling you about SOPA and about lobbying and about the anti-SOPA movement. Now, the SOPA is Stop Online Piracy Act. The number one people that are behind this are the motion picture people, Hollywood, right? They don't want to see their movies pirated, you know, traded online, uploaded for free, that type of thing. Understood. Diametrically opposed to that, because that's what politics is always about. You got one side pulling one way, you got another side pulling the other way. Guess who's pulling against it? It's not who you would think. Yeah, it's the software, the internet people, mainly the internet people. Facebook, Google, and the likes of those. Why? Because they don't want to be burdened by legislation that puts policing of content on them. Like, Facebook doesn't want to worry about whether you have the rights to the video that you upload or not. Just assuming you're uploading a video. They don't know if it's 10 minutes of Pirates of the Caribbean, and they don't want to be statutorily responsible for that and potentially face fines and other criminal penalties. So that's the gist of it. Google was winning the fight in Congress. In fact, Google got, more or less with Facebook, got this whole SOPA thing to be dead on arrival in the House. So it failed. And in the background, right, the picture people led by Chris Dodd, the former senator, big lobbyist after he leaves the Senate. And he basically goes and there's a documented recorded lunch that takes place between him and President Obama. Now, Dodd is best friends with Joe Biden, former vice president. And they have a private lunch December 9th, 2011. Now, why is this significant? I'll tell you, because right around now is when the race for the White House, President Obama's reelection campaign is starting to pick up steam. And I'll also point this out. Obama at this point was somewhat vulnerable. He was vulnerable. Wasn't polling that great. People weren't that happy. And with the possibility of Mitt Romney being the candidate, you start to have real concern that he might lose this thing. So whose cash does he need? He needs Hollywood cash. And here is a contemporary report. I want to just play it so you understand that there's some context for this. This aired about a month later, January 19th, 2012. So roughly 10 months before the election. And this is a special report with Brett Baer, Fox News. And you hear the reporter talking, and then you'll hear Chris Dodd. I want to play the whole thing for context. You'll hear Chris Dodd giving basically an ultimatum, giving an ultimatum to the White House. Listen carefully.
After next Tuesday's State of the Union, the president will head to five more battleground states on top of today's stop in Florida, where the latest Quinnipiac poll shows he has a disapproval rating of 54%. Perhaps why his campaign today launched $1 million worth of TV ads.
President Obama kept his promise to toughen ethics rules and strengthen America's energy economy.
The expensive buy comes as the top lobbyist for Hollywood exclusively told Fox his industry is threatening to cut off money
to
the president.
Don't make the false assumption this year that because we did it in years past, we're going to do it this year. This industry is watching very carefully who's going to stand up for them when their job is at stake.
And guess what happens one day later? Something like 70 commandos led by the New Zealand Secret Service, but acting on behest of the FBI, raid Kim.com's mansion. I'm going to tell you why and how this all fits in. It's a crazy story. But listen, Obama pissed off Kim.com, one of the greatest hackers in the world. He plays into this. Trust me. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
All right. We're back. Sam Rejofsky, Sam Nation, talking about the backstory here to this whole brouhaha with Sean Hannity and Seth Rich. The guy kind of behind all this who's been tweeting and putting out information is his name is .com, Kim.com. German guy. It used to be Schmidt or something like that, and then he changed it to .com to sound more techie. Interesting fellow. Started a massive file sharing website called Mega Upload. And the site was for all sorts of data sharing, but people also used it to share movies. And I explained to you how the Obama administration was called upon by Chris Dodd, former Democratic senator, and said, hey, if you want us to pony up, if you want us Hollywood people to pony up cash for the 2012 race, we got to see, you know, we want to see what you're going to do for them. Who's going to, the exact quote was, who's going to stand up for us, right? So the idea here is, well, what happened? Attorney General Eric Holder files a huge criminal indictment alleging criminal conspiracy, violation of copyright, et cetera, et cetera. And they raid this guy's house. Now, he's just a nerd, right? He says he's a hacker, a nerd, he's a programmer. And they raid his house with, you know, guns drawn, two helicopters. It's crazy stuff. It's like straight out of a Bond movie. It's got kids there. But what I'm getting at here, by the way, confiscated everything, froze his assets, and the case is ongoing and the Justice Department to this day. Now this mess has been inherited by the Trump people, and presumably they're still working on returning him to the U.S. But here's my point. I'm pretty sure that, I mean, the quid pro quo there is transparent. Obama realizes that any legislative efforts in Congress to give the Hollywood people what they want has stalled. The only way to get back into their good graces is to show them that he's got their back, that he's their guy. And so what does he do? He uses his Justice Department, but really our Justice Department, our FBI, to, I mean, it's a flim-flam case. I'm looking at this. You know, if somebody violates a trademark that you have, can you call the FBI to go investigate it? No! You got to hire a lawyer. You got to call Sweet James or whatever. Get somebody on it to fight your case for you. You sue the person civilly. Why does Hollywood get special protections? You ever wonder about that? Because they spend money and they pay off politicians. That's why. And in this particular case, I don't know, they confiscated hundreds of millions of dollars in assets and shut down the company, and everything went after this guy. And he is furious. And so, of course, he's sitting, he's got his keyboard, and he's working around the clock gathering dirt on Obama and especially on Hillary Clinton, who he did not want in any way, shape, or form to go back in the White House. All I'm telling you is my spidey sense tells me that there's more to this particular story than meets the eye. He's played some role in it. And he might be a bit of a gadfly, and he's tweeting that, you know, that he's got evidence and this and that, but you know, this Seth Rich guy, not everyone in the DNC was a Clintonite. There were a number of younger staffers in the DNC who were Bernie people. And they were frustrated as hell, that they were sold out. So this .com guy, he's a musician, he's a hacker, he's a whatever, an internet tech guy. But he also is the founder of this thing called the Internet Freedom Party. And apparently, according to him, this Seth Rich kid had reached out to him prior to his murder about this Internet Freedom Party, wanting to establish a branch of it in the U.S. Don't know if it's true. But it does fit the type. It does fit the general type of disgruntled Democrats who are so frustrated with the Democratic Party selling them out and turning everything wholesale over to Hillary Clinton. You're telling me, and by the way, Rich worked in tech. He was, and that's what he did. He was a programmer there. You're telling me that if somebody who was for Bernie discovered any of those emails, that they wouldn't be pissed off? I don't think so. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Talk radio. 790 KABC.
Before there was the Prius, there was the Pinto. Do you remember the Pinto? It was a little car that would explode when you basically touched it. People used to put bumper stickers on them that said, hit me and we both die. True story. You know, there are certain cars that are more accident prone out there, Prius, than others. It has to do not with the car, but with the driver. And I can't tell you, you know, to avoid those cars. I mean, in a perfect world, you can. But how can you avoid a Prius? How can you avoid Prius drivers? They're everywhere, doing crazy things on their phones, listening to talk radio, pumping their fists in the air, mad at Sam Nation and the truth, all the while driving erratically and causing mayhem and destruction everywhere in their path. This is why you need to keep Sweet James Bergner in your hip pocket. Wherever you go, you got to have his number, because you never know when it happens. Smash, bang, there you are. You got a Prius and its driver somewhere in your backseat. It's not a good situation. And they've got some crappy insurance company that's just going to want to, you know, get out of it as cheaply as possible. They won't want to fix your car. They won't want to take care of your medical bills, et cetera, et cetera. Don't go down that road. Call Sweet James. He's the lawyer we trust. Free consultation, no recovery, no fee. You know the drill. Phone number? Yeah, 800-881-2021, 1-800-881-2021. Or visit his website, sweetjames.com. All right, Sam Rejofsky back here behind the Sam Nation microphone. So this whole situation with .com, going back in history, I know Kim.com, the internet guy, founder of Mega Upload, the file sharing website that was taken down by Obama's FBI and attorney general. But Sam, it wasn't selective prosecution. There are laws against that. And who cares if he's in a foreign country? He's stealing American movies. Yeah? Yeah. Okay. Tell me this. When's the last time Obama or any president raided some guy in China? Okay? Because you know the joke in China about copyright, right? It's not they don't have copyright in China. They just have copy it right. Have you heard that? They don't respect any copyrights in China. Are you kidding me? This is why, and believe me, it is selective prosecution. And done strictly to appease a group of donors. In this case, Hollywood and the MPAA led by Chris Dodd. Vile stuff. But in a broader sense, it frustrates me. I'm so strongly opposed to private businesses getting an unfair advantage from the state and from state regulators and from state-run, state-backed law enforcement personnel. I don't know if you caught this. This was a while back, maybe about a month ago. Down here in beautiful Orange County, Tony Rakakis, our district attorney, made big news, right? $40 million medical insurance fraud went down. And he was up there. He talked about it. It was all over the news. I don't really get involved in too many local news stories. But who was standing behind him? Do you know? That's right. California Insurance Commissioner. His name is Dave Jones. Now, I've got a question for you. If an insurance company screws you over, and I'm being serious here because I have some degree of expertise on this subject. Let's say that an insurance company, they by law, they settle with you. They've got to pay you within 30 days. Let's say they take 35 days and blow you off. Do you know what happens if you call Dave Jones, California Insurance Commissioner? Don't even try. You file a complaint online and da-da-da-da-da. It does nothing. See, Commissioner Dave Jones in California doesn't look out for you and me. Uh-uh. You and I, if we get into trouble, what happens? Got to call Sweet James, right? We can't call the insurance commissioner and expect him to take care of us. And the same is true, you know, for if you hold a copyright. I mean, you as an individual have no clout. And I'm you know, when Trump came in and one of his first executive orders was the 5-year ban on lobbyists. I love it. I mean, the whole idea of Chris Dodd retiring and boom, next minute he becomes the head of the MPAA and is able to so broadly and influentially get the full use of our FBI and Department of Justice to help his clients basically enforce a beef. I don't know. I'm in business. It sure would be nice if I could call up the FBI and have them help me out. No, I got to spend money on lawyers. I got to spend money on my own people. I got to do it myself. That's America. Even playing field. And this is one thing Trump must accomplish while he's got to do something about it. But as a disruptor, I'm telling you right now, he can do a lot more than Hillary would have. I mean, Hillary would have just continued, same old, same old. In fact, made it even worse. All right, well, back tomorrow night, 7 p.m. Talk to you then.
Can't stop, addicted to the shindig.
Talk Radio 790.
KABC.